It is a strange in-between piece somehow, because the way the cello portrays the cello is Don Quixote. And because the story is focused on Don Quixote, although Sancho Panza is there, and you know, the viola gets to shine a little bit, and the solo violin has quite a few passages, and then the clarinet and the bass clarinet, just like in all the Strauss pieces, everybody gets a solo. But really, the sound and maybe I can say the spirit of the cello is what really puts the stamp on this composition.
100%, but I mean, I agree, but the cello at times is just a part of everything that's happening, because there are many, so like the war, it's three cellos playing, and it's one of those things where, yes, there is one solo cellist who portrays the character at the beginning and absolutely portrays the absolute ending to the work when Don Quixote gains his mind. Again, those are, to me, that, and when he sees his vision of the damsel in the middle, there's this incredible quasi-soliloquy that you have to just bear your soul out. But the rest of the piece, I just cannot see myself as calling it ever a cello concerto, because it is such a magnificently large scope orchestral work.
And I think, in this regard, the Schumann is a good fit, Schumann and this particular Strauss piece, because the way the cello and the orchestra interacts, and it really is, it's an inflated piece of chamber music for the most time. And the Strauss, you have bigger, you know, sounds, bigger chunks of the piece that really sound like a real orchestral piece, but there's always this ongoing conversation between the solo or the solo group and the orchestra, and that makes it very just colorful and very interesting.
This piece is so charming. 41 minutes. I was just telling Gregory Voida and Emilio Colon, it doesn't get a lot of airplay because of the length, but it's such a delightful story. I listened to it. Actually, I watched a YouTube video of it before I read the descriptions of the various scenes, and it was just funny. I mean, the music just made me laugh at times, especially the part where, as I read later, he encounters the sheep with the noises.
Yeah, and you know, Strauss famously said that not only I can put beer into music, but I can write it in a way so you can tell what type of beer you're drinking. and it's true in this case too. I mean, it's just amazing all the visuals that he can get out of the orchestra just by, you know, combining the sounds. And in this particular spot that you're talking about, the woodwinds are playing flutter-tongued, so they're just going grrr into the instrument, which kind of sounds like sheep, sheep in the field. And of course, then Don Quixote wants to fight them too. So it's funny how these pictures, musical pictures, suddenly turn into a fighting scene between Don Quixote and something like the sheep or the windmills. And again, it's just an amazing way that Strauss handles this, and at the same time, it's organic. So it's an amazingly organic musical piece that has these fantastic musical pictures embedded in it.
And when you go to the symphony, you'll be given a program book, and you can actually read the descriptions of the scenes, but you don't necessarily have to.
No, you don't have to. I think it's probably an extra layer of entertainment, if you wish.
Yeah.
If you read it and you try to find the particular spot in the music, that's also fun.
And watching the YouTube video, I got to see for the first time a wind machine.
Yeah.
It's actually this weird cranky thing.
Yeah, it's actually just fabric around a wooden wheel that you turn. And the way the wood pushes against the this fabric, and the fabric gets tighter when you crank it, this little machine. That's how you can imitate the wind, like kind of blowing faster or not so fast. And in this scene, Strauss composed a full orchestra, kind of like waves, and underneath or together with this wave is the sound of the wind machine, which of course later was used for many things, like, you know, silent movies. I mean, it is just an effect machine, really.
And did you have one just sitting around in a closet somewhere at the HSO office? Where do you find one of those?
Yeah, I have it in my closet. Okay. I rent it out to HSO whenever. No, I'm just kidding. No, you can either purchase it or actually make it. Many percussion players make instruments like the wind machine.
So it'll be fascinating to watch as well as listen to.
Oh yes, it has to be big, right? It's it's a big storm and it's a big orchestra, so we got to hear the wind kind of cut through the sound of the orchestra. So it is a big wind machine.
With Schumann and Strauss this Saturday evening at 7:30. But I want to mention that coming up Friday afternoon at 4, Emilio Colon will be conducting a masterclass, something else I enjoy watching, because I enjoy watching how young people get engaged with the music. Do you do a lot of these? I imagine, oh, shoot, you're on the faculty at Indiana University. Of course you do. But for masterclasses, working with maybe younger students, maybe aren't as advanced as, say, students at IU.
I am very much looking forward. There are four cellists who are going to play, and it should be a lot of fun to interact with them.
What surprises you in conducting these masterclasses?
Oh, my goodness. Every single one is different. There are so many possibilities on sometimes you'll get a kid who's, I don't know, 6-7 years old, and suddenly you don't think that anything is going to be happening, and this whirlwind of a kid is just playing a billion notes per second, and you're like, oh my goodness. It's just a little bit of everything that can happen. And the most important part of it is that I've always felt that as a performer, there's nothing more important than to be constantly learning in order to be able to showcase as much as you can of the reality of life as it unveils in front of you. And there is no better way to learn than to watch a younger generation attempt to do something that it may be right, it may be wrong, but it may be a completely different viewpoint on something that can also inspire the teacher to be better. So I find that teaching and performing go side by side for me.
These masterclasses are open to the public, as we say in public radio. They'll be set up on the stage, and you can actually sit on the stage and watch the maestro at work with these talented young people from the Tennessee Valley. And speaking of young folks, there's also the Music Explorers Club.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about me now.
Okay, you go ahead. I'm just kidding.
No. Younger than me, folks, yes.
Well, the Music Explorers Club is at 10:15, and that's prior to the open rehearsal, which is a great way to watch how Gregory Voida interacts with the entire orchestra.
And as I like to say, sometimes rehearsals are more interesting than performances. You know, you never stop on a performance. And during a rehearsal, you actually get to see what's happening behind the scenes and how actually an orchestra and a conductor and the soloist achieve what then you are listening to at the concert later. You don't actually have to play an instrument to be able to enjoy that. It's just the process of putting all the these fantastic notes together in the fantastic variations of Richard Strauss and Schumann, and just to get really into, you know, the depth of what music making really is.
And you also get to see the musicians as actual human beings, and
not in their fancy ties
and tails. They aren't penguins that waddle in from a cooler somewhere. These are people who, many of them, live and work here in the Tennessee Valley, and it's a great opportunity. And that begins at 11 at the Mark C. Smith Concert Hall. That's on Saturday morning. And that's it. That's the end of our series for this year. But you're not done yet. You've got another series all planned out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, our next season is out, and you can check it out on our website, hso.org, and it's full of everything. Like, this season, I can say now that this season has been a great success, and we are trying to capitalize on that, and we are trying to just give a little bit of something to everybody. If you like doo-wop, then you can come to a Hans Swiss Symphony Orchestra concert. If you like Beethoven or Tchaikovsky, of course you can come to our concerts. And our casual classic series is on, and the free family concert, which is always my favorite in the year, because you get to meet so many kids, and, you know, bring your grandma, I like to say, and grandmas who don't get to go to concerts as well. So we are here and we are doing our job, and please check it out, because it's going to be another amazing season.